Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, and in this edition of the Magic Week in Review, we're going to take a look ahead to MagicCon with the help of our friend Theory11's own Jonathan Baim. Welcome, Jonathan.
What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
I am honestly not that great. I've been sick all this past week, and we've been busy shooting and obviously in preparation for MagicCon in the next, like, what is it, week and a half. So I've had I don't know if it was a cold or flu or something, but I was unbelievably sick all this past week. But I'm recovering now, and I think the sweet, sweet sound of your voice is only going to make me feel better.
Oh, well, I can nurse you back to health one syllable at a time.
Obviously.
Before we get started, let me remind everybody that this and every Magic Week in Review podcast is brought to you by our friends at Trick Shop Magic. Let's go through here and see what they got up new here at TrickShopMagic.com. How about a little bit of spin by Matt Scacconi? I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incredibly wrong. From the power of... Sorry, do you know how it is?
No, I just know that's probably not it.
It's S-C-O-N-C-E. Maybe sconce?
I believe it's schoon.
Schoon. It's either sconce, schoon, or scacone.
It looks like sconce, I'll be honest with you right now.
All right, so sconce.
It's like a wall sconce.
Maddie sconce. From the power of, or the creator of Power Word Fall, comes an amazing PK effect. Spin large objects or small objects seemingly with the power of your mind. With impromptu ease and no gimmicks, blowing threads or magnets, instantly repeatable and absolutely dependable. You can also head on over to Trick Shop Magic to get stat. The needle through arm gimmick, or maybe a little bit of screen burn by Mark Elston for professional mentalism effects, which ultimately end with the same climax. At any time the performer chooses, he can invisibly switch on or off any standard plasma or LCD TV screens. Limited edition of 250 pieces worldwide, so hurry on over. Or, you know, if you want to kick it a little old school, why don't you hit up Tarbell's Magic Volume 1 Hardbound. Only $20 for 19 lessons over 400 pages with 918 illustrations. You can't beat it.
Pause for a second.
Go ahead.
So you just mentioned something about a gimmick that makes the TV turn on and off.
Yes.
Okay. So now everything makes sense. I didn't know that was a magic gimmick that was out. I've seen it before. It's some gadget things. So
yeah.
Last night I'm at a kind of a sports or like a pizza type place with Eric Ross and Dan White. We're here in New York City.
Yeah.
And we're at dinner, and Dan White's girlfriend was there as well. And we're, you know, Dan has this like this evil look on his face. And we see at the end of the bar, like on the other end, there's this guy that was watching the Academy Awards, and he was very intent into these things. And he looked like he was by himself, and he was just staring, and like was obviously.
I don't like where this story is going.
And so Dan pulls out that thing that you just mentioned. It's just, you know, it's a small gimmick that makes any television turn off. He pushed one button on it.
Yeah.
And it turns off. So Dan has this evil look on his face and kind of like aims it in that direction and pushes the button. And then we just all turn around. Anyway, whatever that gimmick is, I don't know who was by. You can mention it again. It's, you can have lots of very evil fun with it.
Well, it's by Mark Elston.
I remember I had a watch that would do that same thing when I was younger.
Yes. And by the way, we do not, nor does Trick Shop Magic encourage anybody to do anything illegal or improper with it.
Theory 11 does, actually. So
save it for your own podcast. TrickShopMagic.com, bringing you the brick and mortar experience one click at a time, and not encouraging you to get your ass kicked at a bar for turning off the Academy Awards.
I think the guy that's going to get mad at you for turning off the Academy Awards is not the guy that's going to want to get in a fight with you.
You never know. You never know. Sometimes they'll surprise you, those Academy Awards fans. All right. Well, you know, JB, let's talk a little bit about MagicCon. It's coming up, and let's start with the news. You guys announced a big, they would call it in politics an October surprise as, you know, a big addition to the roster there.
We did. This was on Thursday night of, see, Friday night of this past week at 11. What are the chances that we make an announcement?
That's really crazy. It's, I know. It seems later than it should be.
We've never done that before. I swear. We'll never do it again. But
this is a disaster.
We announced on Friday at 11. We've got already like an amazing roster. Dan and Dave especially, proposition and try to find every single great magic creator and influence that they've had and the best ones and the best of the best in this industry, and 90% of them are going to be there. So the presenter list itself was already unbelievable. It was like a dream team of people that we would hope to be presenting at a conference of this sort. Juan Tamariz was obviously the icing of the cake as our guest of honor this year. So we were done. We didn't really have any more announcements, and you know, people were registering, and it was very successful, and we're hoping that the conference is going to be amazing. And then this past week, we were very fortunate, and in Dan and Dave, in discussion with David himself, worked this out so that David is going to be doing a special presentation. David Blaine, if I didn't mention
that.
Yeah,
I was going to say, just so everybody's clear. In fact, David Blaine is a MagicCon presenter.
Yeah, David is going to be doing a 20-minute or so, or 20-30-minute presentation at MagicCon. Basically, the crux of it, and I'm not sure exactly how this is going to be framed up yet, but it's going to be in our main theater, which is this amazingly beautiful room at the Hilton Bayfront in San Diego. It's going to be, I'm not going to say the exact schedule yet because we haven't announced it yet, but it's going to be on the stage. And what we did was, to make this creative, we wanted to make this a Q&A session because everyone's got questions for David. Why does he do this? Or what is his thoughts on this? And we wanted to do this, and David wanted to do an interview. He wanted Dan and Dave just to ask him questions up on stage at the conference and answer questions. And so we like that idea, and it's neat. And you know, we could obviously pick some cool questions and work for the next week and a half to come up with some good questions to answer, or for him to answer live on stage. And we thought, what's a better way to do that? So I was on the phone with Dan Buck, and I brought up the idea of doing this in the style of CNN's YouTube debates, which I don't know if anyone else is into politics out there, but if you saw this,
they did during the 2008 election, during the primary season, they did one for the Democrats, one for the Republicans.
Exactly, and the basic the idea of it was you could go on YouTube and you would make a video of your question, like, you know, hi, you know, I'm John Smith, and this is my question for you, and it's, you know, and he lists his question, and it's a video. So then the person that's being interviewed then is watching the video and answers the question from that person live on stage. So we wanted to do the same thing. So on Friday night, we posted a call for questions. So anyone can make a YouTube video, submit it on the form that's posted on Theory 11, that's posted on magic-con.org. We can link to it in the description for this podcast, where you can submit any question you want. And we're going to pick the best of the best videos with questions from you guys for David to answer on stage. So it's your video, if you submit a video and we pick it, is going to be played on the big screens, on these giant projection screens on the left and right of the stage at MagicCon, and David will answer the best of the best questions live.
Now, just let's rewind before we get into how you guys are going to interview him. Did you guys initially want to get him there? Was it a scheduling issue, or is this something that just, you know, you guys hadn't approached him prior?
No, there'd been no real specific approach before that. I mean, you know, we've got such a lineup already. I think we've probably tossed feelers in his direction before, but nothing specific. We had no real specific discussions with him about doing something there. Obviously, we started picking people to do MagicCon, approaching people for MagicCon well before David did his presentation at TedMed, and especially after we saw that, we definitely wanted to get him to do something, and it's obviously a great thing for the conference, and as someone that's very influential within the industry, he's a great person to have to do it. And I loved his TedMed presentation. If you guys saw that on he did it on basically endurance and why he does those endurance stunts.
Yeah, I believe it was called, you know, how he held his breath for whatever the exact amount of time.
Titled. Yes, yes. Very creative title. I love that.
I'll tell you, he does what he says, you know.
Exactly,
there we go.
Exactly. No, but that was awesome. So especially after that, we definitely wanted to get him to do something, and it didn't come till this past week that came to fruition. So I mean, this is just icing on the cake, I feel like, as one other thing that's going to make this conference really, like, amazingly different type of thing that anyone in magic has ever put on before, ever seen before. It's not a convention. This is totally a serious intellectual conference. I cannot name you know, five really respected names that that I would love to see on here that aren't going to be at either at the conference and just hanging out, and you'll be able to interact with them, or presenting from Dan and Dave to Sebastian, Claire, Garcia, Bill Goodwin, Guy Hollingworth, Chris Kenner, Chad Long, and the list goes on and on. So you can, it should be really, really different and really creative and amazing.
Well, you know, and we're certainly looking forward to covering it. Let's just get back to the Blaine video interview kind of thing. Number one, who's going to be moderating it? And number two, what are they looking for?
It's going to be moderated by Chris Angel. No.
There we go.
That would never happen. It's going to be moderated by Dan and Dave. And what was the second question? I zoned out.
What are they going to be looking for? Like what in general? I mean, is it, you know, a potpourri? Is it just, you know, the silly questions, very serious ones? Like, you know,
we're looking for a mix. We're not looking for just serious questions or just funny questions. There's no real set criteria. I think the key here is we're looking for sincerity, like what people actually want to know. It's one thing to submit a question saying, "Hi, David, my name's, you know, Alex. How did you get started in magic?" You can find that out by going to Wikipedia. You can find that out, I'm sure, in David's book. You can find that out by watching his specials. We wanted to select the questions that really belong at a intellectual summit that is MagicCon, something like that, so that we can kind of pick his brain a little bit of how he thinks, what's his mindset behind his persona. Why does he do his endurance studs? Juan Tamariz, I know, has had a huge influence on David. What has that influence been, and how has that influenced his career, does he think? Things like that kind of dig a little bit beneath the surface and aren't just standard kind of interview questions. We want a little bit more like, I guess intellectual is the right word, of questions, and not necessarily just biographical.
Have you seen any of these submissions so far?
Yes, I've seen a few of them. We did a Saturday night contest on Theory 11 on Saturday night.
Oddly enough.
Yes, also ended at 11.
When did the, I was going to say, that's very clever. I was going to suggest that.
Yeah, so we've gotten, I think, up to this point, between 60 and 70 submissions of questions, different videos, and some of them are great. Some of them are, you know, I thought pretty obvious too. So we've got a good mix of questions that are as simple as, when did you get started in magic? Who are your major influences? But a lot of them that do dig beneath the surface. So it's a good mix. And I know over the next week and a half that we'll get a lot more. So I'm expecting by the end of this, we'll have at least 100 to 150 questions to pour through to find the best of the best.
Besides the whole biography thing, is there any area that you would suggest people stay away from if they really want to get their question read?
Not really. I don't think there's anything that's off limits here. I mean, I'm sure there's nothing I don't think too controversial that someone could ask that I knew he wouldn't want to answer. I think, you know, asking about his focus on endurance stunts, especially as of recently, is a fair game question of what influences that. You know, what is his vision behind that? Why does he do that? I don't think there's anything that's particularly off the limits of what we're looking for. We're just looking for interesting questions that aren't that obvious. They can't be found on a Wikipedia page. I think it's a good summary.
It sounds like a really, really great opportunity. And again, you can go to theory11.com or magic-con.org if you want to submit your question for David Blaine to answer. So, either if you're going to be there or not, you know, surely if your question, well, here, let me ask you this. Let's say somebody's not going, they really want to go, but they can't. They submit a question. Will they be notified that their question will be answered?
Yeah. So when you submit a question, there's a form. So you submit the form with your question. You type in your email address. So if your question does get asked at the conference, you get an email, and we're gonna make sure that you're contacted if your question does get asked at the conference. So you'll know. And yes, the whole interview is gonna be recorded. So we'll try to get that up either in audio format or preferably in video format as soon as possible after the conference is over. So you'll still be able to see it. And again, you'll be, you know, your video will be on the big screen, on two big screens, actually in the main room at MagicCon in front of the best of the best magicians there is. So I think it's a great opportunity. We post these roundtable discussions like every other week with great artists. And we did one like last week with Homer Leewag. We did the one the week before that with Jason England. So we do them regularly, these Q&As and these podcasts. But I think this is a particularly ridiculously awesome opportunity, because how often do, you know, normal magicians out there, and there's many, get to ask David Blaine, who's been an influence on almost everyone that's young and in magic, a question directly. So I think it's a great opportunity. So there's no real reason why anyone everyone should submit something.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it objectively, there are only X amount of magicians who've gotten to the kind of level career-wise that he has, and, you know, not necessarily slamming the others, but not many of them are public people, you know.
Correct. Whereas it's a different type of artist, different type of success.
Basically. Yeah, yeah, and you know, Blaine is somebody that is has kind of you know, been available maybe a little bit more, and is certainly on you know, inside the public eye media wise, maybe a little bit more often than some of the other gigantic people who have made the kind of impact he has. So it's a fantastic opportunity. I'm gonna record one myself, and since I'll be there, if mine gets read, I'm just going to stand up and start screaming, "That's me, David. You can just answer me. I'm here."
Talk to me on the screen.
And I'll see how that goes over.
I think that's a magnificent idea. And I expect a video from Andrew Main as well. And everyone else that's listening to this, submit something. It can be anything, any question. Just think of a question to ask David Blaine if you were standing in a room with them and you had you know, complete freedom to ask him a question. Or maybe something that you actually think will, if he answers this question for you, it might influence or provide some direction to you in your career or your goals in magic or otherwise. So I would encourage everyone listening to this to actually take advantage of it. It'll take 10 minutes of your time and it could really make a difference.
And I'd say this, just in general, short, pithy, and to the point.
Yes, we're not looking for 5-minute life stories about, you know, you and magic and, you know, your favorite SpongeBob's gimmicks. We're looking for a question. My recommendation would just be to say, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." You know, if David's, you know, whatever you want to say to him specifically, you know, "I like you, you're pretty, I like your eyes," whatever. and then get to your question directly. So it's a 1 minute or
less video. I loved your cameo on the marriage ref.
Yes, that was another thing that happened this week. And speaking, all right, so we'll get to that, and we'll get to the other, I thought, embarrassing famous magician news of this week, which was the Criss Angel Ludacris song that came out this past week. I posted on iTunes as well.
Well, yeah, no, it was big news. It was from Ludacris's last album, not the one that he's most recently released, but these were unreleased tracks. He has a little collab with Criss Angel. Now, this isn't the first time he's been linked with him. Celebrity Deathmatch had you know, a match between, I think it was, Ludacris Angel and R. Kelly Clarkson, where they were kind of sewn together. But this is genuine articles.
That's a pretty good group to come together. I think that would come together in real life well. I think they would have a good time together if they were stuck in an elevator.
Well, I guess that was the funny thing, is that it's kind of an odd pairing as a comedy thing. But it's a very silly pairing in reality, where it's, yes, like an actual rap song. Criss Angel does an intro and a outro. He's not part of the song itself, although the chorus, I believe, is he's Ludacris.
Please sing it. Don't say it. Please
no,
sing
I can't sing it. Maybe I'll play. I don't know if there's any profanity. Maybe I'll loop right now. Couple other tricks up my sleeve, cause it's Christmas. I know magic, do away with your clothes. I know magic, do away with your clothes. I know magic, do away with your clothes. It's Chris, my freak, in the back of a rose. I know magic, do away with your clothes. I know magic, do away with your clothes. I know magic, do away with your clothes. And stopping now, there'll be the song in the actual podcast.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm sure people will enjoy that. And if they haven't stopped listening already, then this is definitely great, great encouragement for them to continue on.
But not a fan? You didn't like the song? You're not a fan of Luda?
I am a fan of Luda, actually. That was actually not the weak part of the duo that was singing the song. It was the extent to which I couldn't see Ludacris doing a good magic trick. The Criss Angel part was, I think the hook, or the, what do you call it? The chorus was like cards and hoes. What was it? I don't remember, but
I think it's Ludacris mind freak in the back of a Rolls. Poof. There goes your clothes.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's the work of Shakespeare. I think that's,
well, I mean, come on, let's not be all Bill O'Reilly here.
No, I love Ludacris. I just thought that the song was awful, and Criss Angel's cameo comes off as very I don't know. It comes off as very Chris Angel-ish, very, you know, kind of narcissistic. Look at me. I'm so successful. Look how much money I have, which is, I don't know. I guess that's his character, but I don't know. For a magician and a public light, it seemed a little bit more distasteful than the usual Chris Angel distasteful.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, the one thing I really did enjoy was in the outro, Chris Angel calls Ludacris the ultimate mind freak, or should he say, mind F word. Like, yeah, as if he really needs to spell that out.
Yes, I think that you should always clarify exactly which profane term you're using.
I didn't know. Oh, it's that. That's what mind freak means.
I didn't like the song before. Now I like it because I didn't know that's what it meant. Thank you for elaborating. I needed the annotation at the I wish all rap songs had annotations at the end or footnotes.
Exactly. But in case you didn't get the innuendo, the subtly laced innuendo.
Yes.
Here we go. Well, all right, you know, I guess otherwise, you know, we had the Blaine on the marriage ref thing. That was a fun little surprise.
Yes, that was on what, Thursday night?
Thursday night. Yeah, it's when marriage ref.
If you're unfortunate enough to have missed it, it was starring David Blaine eating pizza.
Yes.
And holding Bill Kalush's book.
Houdini book, yeah.
Yes, Bill Kalush's famed Houdini book. And it was just that was the extent of that was it. So basically, if you just listen to me say that, you basically don't need to watch it because that's all that
Or, happened. Of course, you could watch it if you go over to iTrix. Here's a funny actual story. I know somebody who worked on the marriage ref and, like, literally watched dailies of the bits as they were being shot and knows I work on a magic site and yet somehow forgot to tell me that this thing was coming up.
Great. I love that your sources are so motivated.
I know.
Inside scoop.
It was mind blowing. I talked to this person like every day and literally about like, oh, really? Alec Baldwin was funny? Oh, that's really cool. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, Larry David's shooting tomorrow. That's really crazy. Marv Albert's the announcer. That's wild. No, I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, oh, yeah, you do a magic site every single day? David Blaine's on. No, that apparently wasn't important enough to mention.
No. It's a small side note. A small side note.
Real quick, let's just get back to MagicCon. When you talk about it between whenever I've heard you or the Buck twins talk about it, you guys are very, very, very careful to, you know, say it's not a conference, it's, you know, or it's not a convention, it's a conference. Yeah, you use the term, the lofty term, intellectual summit, you know, in this very interview.
That was a good one.
Yeah, you know, talk about what is different. Because to everybody, you know, well, I wouldn't say everybody, but to the random person just listening, you know, why is it going to be different, you know, in how you guys have actually built it, both from the structure of the conference itself and the guests you've brought in?
I think the difference is the vision for the conference. I mean, I'd stay clear of saying what it will be. Because it hasn't happened yet, and this is our first one. So, you know, if you know, we want to make sure this doesn't go up in flames. But the vision for it is what's different. What we've scheduled, what we have in mind, based on who's involved alone, it's a revolutionary, different type of conference. And the reason why we say conference versus convention is because convention, in at least our minds, has the connotation of being glorified dealers' rooms, which is, you know, you go to World Magic Seminar, which I went to last year. It was very fun. And you know, congregate in the dealers' room and you see what's new and you see new magic tricks that are for sale and in marketing. And this is really not that. There's no dealers' room. There's no room for you to just, you know, go browse lots of magic tricks and scarves and boxes. It's not that. That's just not what this is about.
Are you guys going to have a dealers' room?
No, there's no dealers' room at MagicCon at all. There's none planned, nothing. In that respect, it is different. This is not kind of just a casual gathering of like-minded individuals that a normal magic convention is. That's what I feel like the definition has become of a magic convention is a, you know, a gathering of like-minded individuals that have the same hobby, and that's about it. There's, you know, World Magic Seminar, for example, had some really cool events there. But they're really what people remember from it is they hung out in the dealer's room a lot and it was fun. And they saw a bunch of new cool tricks and they met a lot of friends and it was fun. This is supposed to be fun, but the difference is these presentations. We have virtually all day for 3 days straight of presentations that are in 45 minutes to an hour long a piece. That go for every single day from the time you get there on that's Thursday until the time you leave. From Juan Tamariz is the keynote, from Chris Kenner, from Dan and Dave, Sebastian Clare, Derek Delgadio, Guy Hollingworth's coming in for it all the way from the UK. John Lovick's presenting, Max Maven, Eric Mead, Michael Weber is going to be hosting a lot of the talks as well as being kind of a MC of the event as well. Paul Wilson. So really, these are going to be back-to-back talks, like TED-style talks from these presenters. So it's different. This is there's no room to congregate. You're basically going to be a student for a weekend and listen and learn and obviously meet some incredible people along the way. But that's why we see it as different. Our goal was basically to unapologetically rip off TED and make this the TED style conference of the magic industry. So what would we do if we could get everyone together under one roof in a really nice hotel in a really nice town, San Diego, and what's the most we could do with it? And that's kind of what our vision's been. And that's as of right now, what this thing will be when it comes to fruition next week.
Yeah. And I'll say this from a personal perspective, this is the first time in the history of, you know, our site, iTrix, that, you know, anybody has ever kind of come to us and said, hey, we really want to, you know, think about, you know, coverage because that matters to you guys, which is something that is refreshing to us because it's kind of an afterthought with other, you know, conventions. I mean, they don't necessarily, and I, you know, I don't necessarily want to put words in their mouth, but, you know, the coverage of an independent source is not necessarily a priority for them.
No, it matters to us because we want to get as many people as possible, basically, whether they're vicariously at this conference or physically there. It really doesn't matter to us. We just want to get this to be, you know, the best it can be in terms of a summit, basically, of minds within this art form. So for us, we know a lot of people can't attend this live if they're overseas and they can't make the flight, if they're, you know, there's a lot of people that work in this industry, so they might be working, especially on the weekend, and can't make it out for the event then. So we want those people to still be able to benefit from this and at least feel like they're there, whether that is, you know, us posting some of these talks online thereafter on the MagicCon website, or whether that's you guys covering it and having interviews and such, and at least have some sort of eyes and ears on the ground at MagicCon, it really will matter. So I think it'll help.
No, I'm very, very, very excited about it. And what my pledge to you guys and you know, everybody listening is, you know, we don't want to make this like every other convention coverage that, you know I've paid a lot of attention to over the last, you know, couple years since I've been doing iTrix, and specifically in preparation for this, you know, we're going to try and keep, you know, the, you know, hi, this is Chris Kenner, bye interviews, you know, to a minimum. We want to get real substantive stuff. And we also really want to bring a lot of live streaming capability, which since, you know, this is only really, you know, the only reason why we have the ability to do it is because we have somebody like JB and the Buck Twins who are going to make sure that there's internet available, you know, correct, that's at some sort of reasonable rate that can allow, you know, me to post stuff and stream stuff, you know, in the places where that's going to be allowed. So
I think it's the reality of the situation is you have to have that in mind now these days. It's like when you're performing, there was a really good interview we did with Michael Weber weeks ago, talking about MagicCon, where he brought up the subject of performing for YouTube, and is that a valid performance medium? Should that matter? And he was talking about the prospect that in several years you might have one audience member in your whole audience of 30 people that's holding a video camera, 4,000 people might see your performance by way of that video camera compared to the 30 in the room. So you can't ignore how things could spread like this and how many more minds we can reach by way of medium like iTrix or, you know, the MagicCon website and Theory 11 and Dan and Dave's site, that we can spread the word, we can spread the influence that this has in much more viral way.
Well, I'm super excited to be a part of it in whatever way that me and the site can. And yeah, MagicCon, magic-con.org, you can still register, right?
Yes, it's not too late at all to register. Originally, if you asked me that 3 weeks ago, can I still register 3 weeks from now? I would have said, no, you're pretty much screwed. But the reality is now we were able to work with the San Diego Bayfront Hilton, which is the hotel, very nice hotel, San Diego. We were able to work with them and extend our reduced rate on the rooms for another 3 weeks. So we still have that same special rate is still effective. So you can go on the MagicCon website now, you can still register, make the last minute decision to go there. If you don't feel like making a video for that David Blaine Q&A, you can just ask it in person. We're going to be able to, you know, ask questions directly live as well as the videos.
It's a pretty high price to pay for not wanting to make a YouTube video, though.
Exactly. If you feel
it's
too
like, you're like, oh my God, this free YouTube video is so just taxing. I need to go pay for airfare and hotel and registration to MagicCon.
I think that is a fair assumption. Yes,
I think so.
But yeah, registration is still active. It's $299. It's cheap. $299, I think, is what people spend on magic tricks and given 60 days for cool new tricks if something came out. And this is something that can influence you and something, you know, so people spend $300, I feel like, all the time in magic and don't really get anything out of it. Maybe they get a cool gimmick that sits in their drawer for the next 6 months. Whereas this is, they're spending $300 once and they could meet new people and they can listen to advice and they can hear these talks that can affect them for the rest of their life. I know, you know, growing up myself, these magicians that I was meeting have, they shaped my outlook on magic is right now. That me and my friendship with Chris Kenner from when I was like 12 is the single thing that kept me serious about my magic and into it for as long as I have been and is passionate about it. So I think something like this, meeting all these very respected minds in one event, could really change your life in magic at least. So I would recommend going if there's any possible way you can.
There we go. What more could anybody say? All right. Let's get the plugs out. Of course, theory11.com. You guys are working on new stuff all the time. You know, head on over to the forums, not only for the Blaine thing, but also just for general magic discussion. And Twitter. You're still killing it on Twitter, right?
We do. I don't know what I posted. I posted yesterday on Twitter. It was my last tweet. And it was when I was with Eric Ross, who we shot this ridiculously awesome DVD with this past weekend. Some of you may have heard of it, called Crush. It was his first time in the New York City subway. It was actually his first flight as well, which I had no idea that it was his first flight he had ever taken. So he kept asking me all these questions last week about, like, you know, oh, how do I, you know, should I get an e-ticket or do I check in? And I was like, yeah, you just check in like you always do. And I never thought that he had not flown yet. I found that out. So anyway, I posted a picture of it on Twitter and that's my last tweet.
You guys got another, I don't even know what I can say, but there's a picture in your possession.
Yes, I am going to be posting a picture if you're still listening to this podcast at this point. There's going to be a picture posted on the Theory 11 Twitter later tonight, and I cannot mention anything else about it contractually.
I can. And
you can not. But
I'm just going to spill the beans. There we go.
Check it out later tonight, and you will see what it is, who it is, and that's all I'll say for now and forever.
All right. Jonathan Baim has been my guest on the Magic Week in Review. If you guys would like to send any kind of feedback, it is show@itrix.com. But until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of itrix.com. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang a gong.
itrix.com.